Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 23rd of February. This is our Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. John Munson, one of my favorite people in the whole joint, is joining me here in our studios in Milwaukee. And you know that you get a lot out of Wisconsin Public Radio. Holy cow, think of what you got out of this network the last couple of weeks. No matter when you listen, today we're asking for you to put something back in, and that is money at WPR. We count on listener contributions to pay for just about everything we do. And your gift right now keeps the programs that you value, including this program, on the air. Make your contribution now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hey, John.
Good morning, Kathleen. You made me blush. Last hour, our goal was 55 pledges, and we heard from 39 listeners. Well, thank you for those pledges. This hour, another goal, another lofty goal to reach 50 pledges by 10 o'clock this morning. These hourly goals are really important. That's why we set them. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Please take a moment right now and give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In just a moment, we will be speaking with, and you will have a chance to speak with, Mayor Tom Barrett of Milwaukee. James Clauser will also be joining us, a very prominent figure in the Tommy Thompson administration, where he was secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Administration. Of course, our conversation will focus on all that has been happening in the state, and it is amazing. It happens day after day, and we've been very much on this story. Everybody, the news, all of the talk programs for the past 2 weeks. Discussions like this one, and they are unique on the Ideas Network, and they're here because of your financial support. So please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, Kathleen, rather than receiving a book or a CD as a thank you gift this drive, our listeners can do something extra special. Give $120 or more and select Food for 40 as your thank you gift. WPR will pass on what we would normally spend on a book or CD to a Wisconsin food bank in your area. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like that idea. It's a good one. The Ideas Network connects you with experts. How many times can you just pick up the phone? This is a remarkable service. And talk to the editor of a magazine or to a former vice president or to a former president, a politician, the author of a book. The Ideas Network brings these experts right to you. It's an incredibly valuable and rare service. To help make it possible, please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, here's the good news, Kathleen. It only takes 3 minutes to accomplish this remarkable feat. Tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay. Using a credit card saves us time, postage, and paper, and it puts your money to work immediately. Or consider signing up for EFT, Electronic Funds Transfer, from your bank account. That saves even more time, postage, and paper. Well, no matter how you choose to give, take those 3 minutes right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And for a pledge, as John said, of $120 or more, actually, John didn't say this, but I'm saying it, and maybe John will say it later.
I'll say it eventually. It's a long pledge drive. We're just getting started.
Oh, my. For $10 a month or more, we'll be happy to send you the WPR membership card. You'll get 2-for-1 entrees at restaurants, 2-for-1 stays at B&Bs, 2-for-1 greens fees at golf courses, and 2-for-1 admissions to cultural attractions. The participating venues are all over the state of Wisconsin.
Hey, it's a fitting benefit for a statewide network like Wisconsin Public Radio. Pledge your support to WPR right now and get that member card for your pledge of $120 or more. WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
And we've had one pledge, so let's get more during the course of this hour. But we got it rolling here. Give now, WPR.org. or 888-202-2552. Mayor Tom Barrett is going to join us the first part of our program, and later in this program we'll be speaking with James Clauser, who was a very high-ranking figure in the Tommy Thompson administration here in the state of Wisconsin, where he was Secretary of Administration. It's just indicative of the kinds of programs that we have brought to you since last week, and really unexpected programming, the depth and the demonstrations and the news that keeps giving day after day after day, and you have been very, very engaged in all of these conversations. Our phone number for you to speak with the first half hour, Mayor Tom Barrett, who of course ran as the Democratic candidate against Governor Walker in November, is with us this hour. He has expressed concerns about the budget repair bill, saying that we needed to increase contributions to health care and pension benefits, but he is concerned about the fundamental right to organize, which would be taken away. So he is with us, and you will have a chance to speak with him. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, for you to join the conversation with Mayor Barrett. Hello, Mayor Tom Barrett.
Good morning, Kathleen.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. You have said, and I would wholeheartedly agree with you, that you haven't seen anything like this in the state of Wisconsin for years and years and years, if ever.
Well, certainly not in the last three or four decades. We have not seen anything like this. And for me, what this comes down to is let's deal with the issue of having public employees pay more for their health care and for their pensions. The vast majority of people in the state think that that's fair, and particularly when we have difficult economic times, both as a state and as individuals, we should be part of that sacrifice. But where there's the disconnect here is this onslaught, against the right to organize. That is not something that has been part of the political dialogue until literally the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised? I must say I was a little bit, I didn't think it was true when I heard about the David Koch phone call to the governor yesterday. And Chrissy told me about it while I was on the air, and I went to the internet and thought, this can't be right. And then indeed I found out that it was right. What does it say to you about, well, it says something, of course, about campaign contributions and how our system is run. Were you struck by anything in that very long conversation?
Well, and I have to go back and read it again. I was I got home late last night and perused it, but I want to read the whole thing. What struck me was the governor's public statements about this have been, we have a crisis, we have no money, we can't negotiate. And again, I'm going to have to go back and look at the transcript again. But the portions that I was reading, I didn't see any reference to that whatsoever. And it was more along the lines of, this is our moment to crush the union. Mm-hmm. And so it reminded me of that old TV show, You Don't Say, where it's not what you say that counts, it's what you don't say. And in that conversation, clearly the overriding concern is, how do you break the union? Not how do you address the budget crisis. And to me, that will show you what's really at play here. There is a very clear path to end this crisis. The clear path is that you deal with the $165 million question. So the price of this war, because it's a war, the price of this ideological war is about to become $165 million. You deal with that. You deal with the higher payments toward pension and health care. You include all public employees, and you don't exclude those, including those who had been political supporters of yours. If you do that, we've addressed the issue. He has the votes to deal with what I call the ideological war. It does not have to be dealt with in this bill. But what I think is going on here is, for many legislators, and I'm speaking as a former legislator, there are things that they can vote for if they are included in a larger package, and particularly if the larger package is identified over and over and over again in the press as emergency budget repair bill. Everybody understands you have to step up and do something during an emergency. So this has all been presented to us as an emergency budget bill. So people can vote for things in there, but if it were standing alone, if it were a separate bill, then they'd have a much more difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the irony for me in all of this is virtually every editorial board that you visit in the state will say, well, what are you going to do to make sure that there is no policy in the budget? And it's sort of the litmus test of good government. Are you going to make sure there's no policy in the budget? Well, here we have the largest piece of policy that we've seen in a budget in 50 years. And I'm waiting for the editorial boards to say, have this be a standalone bill. That's how you resolve this issue.
And do you imagine, considering the demonstrations that are relentless and the huge numbers of people, what other governors are doing, their kind of backtracking in other Republican states, and the amount of national attention on this issue, that the governor will be forced to do that? Or do you think he will hold strong?
Oh, I think he's loving this. I think he said it in the phone call. He views it as his moment. And not all Republican governors are backtracking. I think Republican governors and Republican legislators around the country are looking to see how this plays out. And if Governor Walker is successful in crippling these unions, I guarantee you're going to see that in other states. That's why you're seeing all this national interest.
Right. When you get the budget next week, and you have to deal with police and firefighters in the city of Milwaukee, and your budget, when you look at the benefits for those employees, it is a huge part of the Milwaukee budget. What are you going to do? What do you do with that?
Again, this is one of the ironies in this. One of the arguments that Governor Walker is making is local government officials need this. They need this. And I do need help. There's no question I need help. And I welcome the help from the state to deal with our budget problems, particularly if they're going to drop the other shoe next week and slam us on shared revenue. But two-thirds of my salaries go to police and fire when you look at salaries and benefits, and they're the groups that are left out of this. Now, in my case, those are also the two unions that supported him when he ran for governor. So you've got the two unions that supported him when they ran for governor, and they're left out of this equation in the city of Milwaukee.
And do you think that was political, Mayor Barrett?
Yes, I do. I do. You look at it, and his argument was that police would walk off their jobs. Well, I think what you see is that the people who are in law enforcement are professional people. They're going to do it. And again, other states that have dealt with this or that are starting to deal with, they have not drawn that distinction. They have, and I think from a policy perspective, if you're going to do this, and I fundamentally disagree with this attack on the right to organize, but if you are going to, at the state level, require shared sacrifice, then it has to truly be shared sacrifice, and you can't reward those that supported you politically. Now, some of those groups did support me, make no question about that, but in my role as mayor, both the police and fire unions supported him, and so I'm in this situation now where librarians have been pitted against firefighters, where nurses have been pitted against police officers. And from my standpoint, when you have a crisis, you bring everybody to the table and you deal with it. You don't bring some people to the table and ask them to deal with it and send the other people out for a steak dinner.
I think that a lot of people were troubled yesterday by the access that people with a whole lot of money have to very important figures. The fact that David Koch could get through to the governor and have a fairly lengthy conversation in which he was briefed on all that was going on in terms of trying to get Democratic senators back and the possibility of putting people in with the protesters. There's something, I think, that rubs a lot of people the wrong way, no matter what your political persuasion, that the little guys, that the middle class, that people who don't have that kind of money do not have that kind of access. Is there something fundamentally wrong with that? Do you as a Democrat also agree that there's something really wrong with campaign finance?
If I were a 48-year-old woman who worked for the Department of Motor Vehicles and would be affected by this bill, I would be frustrated thinking, oh, that's great. This guy from Oklahoma or New York City or wherever he's living right now can call and get right through. But I can't. I think that just underscores people's frustration with money in politics. But to me, it also tells you this. This is a national effort. This is a national effort. Koch Industries have been very, very involved in right-to-work legislation, in trying to do everything they can for very conservative candidates. And so this is just part of the play. We're just part of one scene in this national play. The spotlight happens to be on us right now, on the state. But to me, what I've said the other day is this is not our Wisconsin. This is not the Wisconsin where we sit down and work out solutions to problems. This is an ideological war. And you had one of the ideological war generals calling in, and of course he could get to the governor immediately.
You had the great opportunity to, I was a little jealous of it, but it's okay, to go to the Super Bowl at the White House with Tommy. What a day that must have been. And it's too bad that you didn't, well, you probably do have chats with the president. If you had a chance to speak with the president, if all of this had happened a little bit earlier, would you urge him to become more involved in what's going on in Wisconsin?
I think he's done it properly. I think he made comments about it. I think it is an issue that has national importance. I think that he recognizes it's going to play out again on the stage here in Wisconsin. But I don't think he wants to or needs to be micromanaging what's going on here in the state of Wisconsin. I think he's got a lot of issues that he has to deal with at the national level. So I'm not critical. On the Super Bowl, I'll give you some advice. If you ever get invited to watch the Super Bowl at the White House, you should go.
I'm with you. I almost called you and said, don't you need somebody to sort of take care of everything? I'll bet it was a day. And I loved your response when you said it was a day that you will forever and your son will forever remember.
Yep. Yeah. And it was a great game. That's the best part. It was a great game.
We welcome phone calls from Mayor Tom Barrett. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. I also must tell you that we are in our winter pledge drive. It is extremely important. And as you well know, these conversations are extremely important. I think that we have shown you, if we haven't over the last, since 1917, we've been around a long time, that we do present all kinds of ideas on the Ideas Network. And public opinion, as Abraham Lincoln once said, is everything. And public opinion is what we listen to on this network. It is valuable. Please call and pledge. 888-202-2552. Joining us, the second part of this hour will be James Clauser, former campaign chair for Governor Tommy Thompson and also Secretary of the Department of Administration, a very important position. He is very much in favor of the bill, budget repair bill, so we will speak with him later. To your phone calls momentarily, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to phone calls now. Paul in Milwaukee is our first caller. Mayor Barrett. Hi, Paul.
Yes, good morning. Hi, and thank you for this great program, and thank you to you and Mayor Barrett for the program. I've been at the protest in Madison three of the last 5 or 6 days, and I'm becoming more and more involved in this issue. And I have to echo both of your comments about the phone call from the journalist. And it's, you know, I have to say it's definitely a breath of fresh air to hear some light finally being given to this thing about the call. I'm calling because I'm concerned that some of our local media here in Milwaukee and other places is not covering the phone call enough. One thing that particularly concerned me about the phone call, the gentleman asked Barrett if, or excuse me, I'm sorry, asked...
it wasn't Barrett, no.
Yeah, sorry.
He's never called
He never Walker, called you.
Asked Governor Walker if he had considered planting troublemakers.
All right, let's go to that part of the call. Mayor Barrett?
I didn't consider that to be one of the more damaging parts of the call. I just read it and I thought, all right, he sort of acknowledged that. I would have felt much worse if he had done that. Again, for me, the theme that there was never a mention of the fiscal problems the state faced, that this was just an ideological war and that these were ideological soulmates trying to crush people's right to organize, is, to me, was the overriding thing that came out of that call.
Have you been in touch, do you want to be in touch with the Democratic senators who are in Illinois?
I've had conversations with four of them over the last couple of days, and just to see how they're doing, and to let them know what my sense is. I talk to people around the community here.
Mm-hmm. And how would you advise them? What do you think is going to happen? Are they going to be away from home for months?
I see a very clear path to end this. It is the governor and the legislature agree to higher payments for health care and pensions, the $165 million refinancing of the bond, and including all employees in this, and then we're done for the weekend. The governor has a majority in both houses. He can bring back the non-budgetary items in a bill, which is what he should do, which is what every editorial board that I talked to over the last year said should happen, that those should be considered separately. They're non-budgetary items. That's why, just in the last 72 hours, I think that the Republicans have realized that there's a chink in their armor, and they're saying, oh, no, these have budget implications. These have budget implications. Those are clearly non-budgetary items that are included in a budget bill. And if they're going to be debated, they should be debated separately.
We go to Kurt next from Medford. Hi, Kurt.
Yes, I've been paying real close attention to this whole issue, and I agree with Scott Walker on the subject. And one of the things that
which portion do you agree with, the higher payments or including the non-budgetary parts in the bill that will dismember the union?
Kurt, could we get an answer? Which part do you agree with of the bill?
I agree with the whole bill. As a matter of fact, I think it should go further. I think it should include the police and the firemen. In fact, I think everybody's, this is really about union busting. And actually, I agree with that. It is about union busting. And in my opinion, I think the union has actually busted itself.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate your honesty, because I think if we're having an honest debate, I think that's good. I think that's good for democracy. And you're not the first person I've talked to who acknowledges that this really is an attempt to bust the unions. Well, then let's just say that and let's do it. Let's not have this Trojan horse where we dress it up as an emergency budget bill, but the real purpose here is to bust the unions. That's a debate that's a healthy debate to have in a democracy. And I respectfully disagree with you, but I very much respect the fact that you're honest as to what your intent is.
Bonnie in Madison, hi.
Oh, hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Bonnie.
I wanted to ask Mayor Barrett if he had heard of or would comment on Scott Walker employing a similar strategy when he was the county executive in Milwaukee of declaring an immediate crisis. And what he wanted to do, one of the things I guess he wanted to do, was to replace public employee security guards with employees of a private firm called Wackenhut, a firm which has military contractors in Afghanistan.
Well, in fact, he did do that. As county executive, he did eliminate the public security force in the courthouse and brought in Wackenhut. And my recollection is they actually had to bring people in from out of state. So you had people in the state of Wisconsin who lost their jobs. And then because they did it so quickly, they had to bring people in from another state to fill those jobs. But no, he clearly had done that. And what I've heard is that's one of the things that they have in mind for UW Police as well as Capitol Police. I haven't confirmed that, but that's one of the things that I've heard is in the near future.
Finally, let me ask you about the turmoil in this state, which really isn't good for anybody. It's not good for students to not have teachers. It's not good for people to worry about whether or not they'll be laid off. It's not good for people's morale. It's not good to have people pitted against each other. It's not good for our state. I think that everybody would agree with that. Are there long-term ramifications for all of this? And is there a way, without being too simplistic about this, for people to realize the value of somebody else's viewpoint?
Well, again, where I would respectfully disagree with you, Kathleen, I think from Governor Walker's standpoint, I think he's loving every minute of this. He said so on the phone. This is our moment. This is the moment when all political eyes in the nation are upon him and upon the state of Wisconsin. Again, I look at this as a situation where when you have a serious problem, that's when you try to bring people together. That's not when you try to divide people. And to me, that's just a fundamental difference in how you look at life. So I think, and there's no doubt in my mind, that his stock has risen among the far right in national politics. And I think he loves that. Again, he's talking about Ronald Reagan and the things that Ronald Reagan did. That's all music to the ears of people who are really in the vanguard of conservative thought in this nation. So I disagree that there's an uneasiness. I think that there are some people who are loving this. I think most people, though, are saying this is disconcerting. Let's address the issue. Let's solve the problem, and let's get back to the task at hand, which is how do we put more people to work? How do we create more jobs in the state? That I thought was going to be the focus. I thought that the focus was going to be like a laser beam on creating jobs, not on this ideological war to destroy unions.
Okay, can you get me an invite to the Super Bowl?
I'll work on it. Just kidding.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Mayor Tom Barrett, our guest. This part of the program, we're going to hear an entirely different perspective from James Clauser. Those of you who have lived in Wisconsin know how important James Clauser has been to the state of Wisconsin and to the Tommy Thompson administration. He was campaign manager, and he was also secretary of the Department of Administration for many years. He is 100% behind the bill, and he'll be joining us momentarily. I'm Kathleen Dunn. John Munson is joining me in our downtown Milwaukee studios. This is also, there is so much going on, the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive, and more than ever, I think you understand what I mean by that. You rely on Wisconsin Public Radio and the Ideas Network for intelligent discussions. And more than ever, we rely on the money that you give to keep that talk on the air. Your gift today of $60, $120, or any amount will help keep this important forum for discussion on the air in the coming months. Please give now at WPR.org or our phone number, 888-202-2552. Hey, John.
Well, that bears repeating, Kathleen. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Help us pay for the programs you depend on. Well, we need 16 more pledges in the next 26 minutes or so. Make yours the next pledge at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
You hear marvelous guests all day long on the Ideas Network. This is and it's a time when people are tuning into radio a great deal to listen to public opinion, to listen to experts. Well, actually, you hear the experts here. You hear certain viewpoints on other radio stations. This is a unique radio service, really, in the country, and your support makes it possible. Pledge now for the station that you enjoy and also that you rely on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, you might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars. That's a pretty common idea. Well, we do get some funding from the federal government, and we get some from the state. But listener contributions, that's you, make up our single largest source of income. It's about 40%.
You get the full picture at funding.wpr.org. The fact is, your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. And now that you know that, make a pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR has been around for a long time, and the reason for that is that we're committed to quality. And it's a simple equation. Funding equals quality. An important part of that funding, about 40%, comes from you.
Your contribution allows us to bring you this program and others of the highest caliber. Please be a part of the quality and continuity that you hear every day on WPR. Make a donation. It's WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Need 16 more pledges before the 10 o'clock hour strikes, and you could be the next one right now at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
When you pledge $120 or more, you can choose Food for 40 as your thank you gift, and it will provide 40 meals to those facing hunger in your area. Please pledge now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552, WPR.org. Thanks very much, John. I've lived in Wisconsin for 38 years now, and I can't remember a time when there has been this much public discourse about the future of the country, or the future of the country, the future of the state of Wisconsin. There have been very different opinions about which way we need to go, the role of unions, the role of public workers, the role of private workers, how to attract business. And so many people are engaged in this discussion, which I think is a very, very good thing. There's a lot of public opinion to be heard. There are a lot of voices to be heard. And during this show, just the last couple of weeks, we have brought you so many top-notch guests. James Clauser is joining us now. He was senior vice president at Wisconsin Energy Corps, retiring in 2007. He was also secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Administration from 1986 to 1996 under Governor Tommy Thompson, and was special counsel to the governor from 1994 until 1996. We'll continue our phone calls as we talk about the budget repair bill, this time a different point of view. He is a backer of the bill, and our number for on air is 800-486-8655. James Clauser, thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm very well. It's a beautiful day.
It is amazing to look at how people in Wisconsin, no matter what your viewpoint, how engaged people are in this process, isn't it? It is a sight to behold.
Well, yes, but it didn't start with the introduction of this legislation when we saw what have come to be called Tea Party rallies. People were engaging then. And we've seen the last year or 2 years a lot of citizen involvement. And I think that's fine. I agree with you. But it didn't start with just this introduction. It's been going ongoing.
Yeah. Mayor Barrett, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to him, but he made this suggestion, and I wonder what you think about it, that unions have agreed to pay more for their pensions, to pay more for their health care. These are the budgetary items. The collective bargaining part is not a budgetary item. It should be voted on separately and brought up separately, and we'll call it a weekend and go home.
He's wrong. Yes, as far as health and pension, that's fiscal. But work rules are also have great fiscal impacts, and he should realize that. So to say that, well, there may be some concurrence on health and pension benefits, and I don't think there is, because if you see the contracts being negotiated and signed, recently the Milwaukee Area Technical College contract said nothing about pension changes. So I think that's a fallacy. But in collective bargaining, one of the components are work rules, and those have tremendous fiscal impacts and may well have greater fiscal impacts. You look at General Motors and the large corporations that have failed or reorganized, a lot of that is because of intransigence on work rules. So it's too simplistic and somewhat, it's like the old shell game, where's the pea? And very simplistic, and I think misrepresentative of what they really are doing.
And James, what are some of those work rules, do you think, that add to the public burden? What are the rules that are troublesome for you?
Well, first of all, you have to remember, and people don't understand very well, that state and fiscal or local finance are incredibly interwoven. The state is having a fiscal emergency because of past actions. But then the local communities are too, but it may not have filtered down to them. So what the governor is attempting to do, while he should get an award to criticize him for eliminating collective bargaining, that is absolutely not true. He's trying to preserve the principle. Some have proposed that government employees shouldn't have collective bargaining or unions, such people as George Meany and Franklin Roosevelt took that position. As a matter of fact, if the same Wisconsin laws applied to federal employees, President Obama would not have been able to freeze wages. Now, what are some of these? One, for instance, is negotiation over who provides health care, the health care plan. The teachers' unions have locally pushed We at Trust, the Wisconsin Education Association Insurance Trust, and they've required school boards to go along with that. There are other work rules. I remember a circumstance when I was secretary where a work rule provided that a moving crew had to have three people on it. Okay, that's not unreasonable. Then another work rule provided they get a 15-minute break. Well, person A took 15 minutes, but then the team couldn't work because there were only two, then person B, and then person C, and so they wound up with 45 minutes. I addressed that by telling them we would hire private movers. There are a lot of these things. For instance, the Milwaukee school system, an energetic young teacher who wants to spend time with their students will be told no, and they have been told no. You can't work more than so many hours because then you're establishing a precedent for the rest of us. So these work rules, who can do what and who can't do what, you have two people in an office, one answers the phone, the other handles scheduling. The person handling the phone, answering the phone, and receptionist is gone. Then the scheduler is by definition, told you can't answer the phone, even if they want to. I mean, these work rules get to be very microscopic and very detailed, and in many cases don't make any sense.
They have
substantial fiscal impact.
When you were with the Thompson administration, was there talk about doing the same thing in those years or not?
Well, we didn't have the fiscal emergency. And on the state level, you know, I have to give credit, and I do, to the state employee unions. We developed collaboratively consensual bargaining. At times, the state didn't have much money compared to the rate of inflation. We really did not have these problems. Though, for instance, we proposed that prisoners be able to work in the kitchens at the prisons. The union said no. We proposed that the management of the staffing of the power plants, which is a current issue in this bill, that the state just wasn't competent and that we should let others who have greater competence manage the and operate the power plants. The union said no. So there were things we did not agree on, but then how many fish can you fry at one time?
Mm-hmm. Let's go to some phone calls. Our lines have been filled on these issues for the last 2 weeks. We go to Barbara from Waupaca. Hi, Barbara.
Good morning. I would just like to say that this whole process of rushing bills through has been extremely disappointing to me. There was such an opportunity for Mr. Walker to come in and really show the nation how we can work together to overcome extremely difficult situations. And instead, what he has done has taken the opposite and most divisive way to address these issues. And I think the harm that has been done to our state is I hope it's not irreparable. It just seems to me that it's polarizing people more, which means we can address the issues less rationally. And not only that, it is pitting neighbors against neighbors. Rather than really looking at the actual problems. And what I would have preferred to have him do is the first week in office, instead of rushing through big bills, if he had set up town meetings to talk to people around the state. It really is no excuse to say, well, I told people I was going to do this. In the first place, he didn't tell all of the things that are in these bills.
All right, James Clouser.
I don't think what Governor Walker is doing is inappropriate. He has presented his proposals as to how to solve the fiscal emergency. the other side, those who are adverse to it, have been obstructing the process. When you look at the 14 obstructors who have left the state, why aren't they there? This bill would go to committee. Many people appeared. These proposals. This is part of the democratic process. This is the way it works. We don't have a democracy where you have instant, everybody votes on any given topic. Town hall, the election had results. I think we have obstruction, which is undermining our democracy, and I hope that that doesn't prevail. There will be an election in 18 months, so if you have a different perspective, you can express that at the ballot box, just as many did at this in this last election. These things can be reversed if that's the will of the electorate. That's why we have elections. But in between elections, we elect people, and the majority should rule.
Thank you, Barbara, very much for your call. Let's go next to Chris in Mukwonago. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you doing this morning?
Okay, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
I have a question for James there, as he was a We Energies executive. My question is, James, what is your opinion on the no-bid purchases of Wisconsin Energy Resources? Can you explain your position on that?
Well, I think the Joint Finance Committee has adjusted that so that whatever the proposal is that's made by the Department of Administration would then have to be reviewed by the legislature. And anything going to the legislature would be a public record so people can see. I don't know that anybody would want to buy these power plants. So I think the openness of the process will take place, and the competitiveness of the process will take place as it goes forward under the amended terms of the bill.
There were, as you well know, everybody's all abuzz about the David Koch phone call yesterday. A lot of people are talking about it nationally and locally. What did it say to you? Did it say anything? Were you disturbed?
Yes, it says something to me, and it disturbs me.
Does it?
This individual should... who pretends to be a journalist, but he is not. He is not in your league or others' leagues, decides to lie and violate and break the law. But this is a person who has, in the past, taken, when he's speaking of our American heroes, those boys and girls, those young men and women who died for this country, he's essentially said, well, they're getting what they wanted. This is a miscreant. And I'm surprised. What disappoints me is that others are not dismissing him and not criticizing him, but are just taking what he's done and saying, well, now running with it. I think what amazes me is the members of the minority party in the assembly who are quoting what he said and criticizing the governor. But the fundamental lack of morality and lawfulness of this person is being ignored.
Yeah, I see your point on that, but the governor didn't know it was a miscreant. So,
because the person misrepresented.
Yeah,
and so the governor, you know, if someone calls me and says they're Jay Sykes or something, or not Jay, that's Charlie's father.
Father, right.
I knew his dad. Or someone says they're Mitt Romney or whatever and calls, well, I would expect that's who it is.
Right.
And I think the governor's staff, it's one of the cooks calling. So I took the call thinking that was who it was. I think that's dishonest.
But it doesn't say something, no matter if you're a Democrat who's taken a call from a wealthy donor or a Republican, that it indicates that maybe we need a different, that it says something about campaign finance reform, that money talks. Did you read it that way at all or not?
No.
No.
I think it was Tip O'Neill who said that money is the mother milk of politics, no, I didn't. David Koch, there's Bill Koch and there's Charles. Bill Koch was involved with Buddy Melgus in Zenda, Wisconsin, of winning the America's Cup. So they call. They're active in different activities. I'm sure Scott takes many calls, as I take too many calls. I'm supposed to be retired. What troubles me is, yes, somehow they should have cleared the call. But you take call-ins, and others in talk radio.
Yeah.
And you assume that your producer assumes that it's who the person says they are.
Right.
And but this, to record it, and you know that if you're going to record a conversation, you have to tell that person under the law.
Yes.
Some radio stations aren't replaying this tape because it's violated FCC rules.
Yeah.
So it's reprehensible. And yes, there should be debate. There should be discussion. I have a high regard for Marty Beal and Phil Neuenfeld. They should repudiate those things that are out of place.
James Clauser, I'm glad you answered this phone call. We are who we say we are, and we enjoyed having you on. Thank you for being with us.
Okay, thank you.
James Clauser, very active in the Tommy Thompson administration, where he was secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Administration from 86 to 96. He was also campaign chair for Governor Tommy Thompson and considered really his top advisor. Thanks to him and to Mayor Tom Barrett for being with us for this fascinating conversation with completely different viewpoints, completely couldn't be more so about what's going on in Wisconsin. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Kathleen Dunn. John Munson is joining us again. And we are asking you to think about how much you rely on WPR's Ideas Network for enlightening, informative discussions like the one you just heard. Where else are you going to have Mayor Tom Barrett and James Clauser in the same hour with a chance for you to talk to them with completely different ideas about what's happening in the state of Wisconsin? It's just marvelous radio and access that you have to people who have thought about these issues deeply. We're here right now to remind you that WPR relies on you to keep programs like this one on the air. That's the truth. This is our winter membership drive. A gift of any amount will make a big difference in our ability to pay for the programs that you count on. So please make a gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hello, John.
Well, Kathleen, you remember that 50 pledge goal we had at the beginning of the hour?
Yes.
Well, you know, we didn't make 50. We made more than that. I mean, our audience continues to exceed everyone's expectations. 76 pledges and they're still coming in. So please make yours the next. Join the throngs that are pledging to Wisconsin Public Radio, because your pledge keeps us on track to support programs like this one you're listening to right now. Thank you so much to the 76 people who've already made a gift this hour and all the people who made gifts earlier this morning. If you're not one of those, please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You enjoyed the conversation with Mayor Tom Barrett and James Clauser. We also, in the last 2 weeks, have spoken with a professor of management from Marquette, with Sheila Cochran from the AFL-CIO, Michael Hintz, Wisconsin Tea Party, Tim Sheehy, Milwaukee Metropolitan Association of Commerce, Sean Johnson, who's done a fabulous job for us. You know, what about the news department during all of this time? He's been great. We've talked with a guest from WEAC. We've had somebody from AFSCME with us, Patrick Marley from the Journal Sentinel, Democratic State Senator Lena Taylor, Republican State Senator Randy Hopper, Bill Krause joined us, and then today Mayor Barrett and James Clauser. But not only have they joined us, you've had a chance to talk about all of this. And quite frankly, we're the only place that's doing this kind of thing anymore, and it is just so important. Put a value on the programs you enjoy every day. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552.
Well, here's a way to make yourself feel extra good when you donate to WPR this pledge drive. Give $10 a month or more, and as your thank you gift, 40 meals will be provided to those in need through area food banks. Just choose Food for 40 as your thank you gift when you pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I listen and contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio, and I am an avid fan because Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network programming feeds my head, and the classical music feeds my soul. Thanks, Wisconsin Public Radio, for informing me and enriching my life.
And John Munson and I are here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is a big part of why this program is available to you right now. And we work hard at it. I think you know that. Make your donation in support of the programs you count on, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
One of the best things you can do with 3 minutes of your time is make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And gosh, it looks like we're out of time.
We're out of time, John. Thank you, John.
We get another hour.
I know we do. Thank you. John Munson joining us. And thanks, everybody, for all of your public opinion and also for your support. Again, it's 888-202-2552. Many thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Chrissy Pease. And when you pledge, think of them because they are the ones who bring you the high-quality guests that we have. And that's what makes this show. No great guests, no great show. Thanks for your help.